Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everybody, I'm Meredith and I'm part of the Fade to Gray Patreon, and I've got some great news for you. Are you paying too much for your auto, home, life, or small business insurance without having your own agent you can trust to advise you correctly? Insurance agent Chad Johnson has multiple companies to offer these products and is licensed in Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, and Iowa. Call or text message him at 417-421-2925 for a no obligation quote on any of your insurance needs. Again, that's call or text message 417-421-2925.
Ladies and idiots,
this is the Fade to Gray podcast.
Everything will be aces.
Let's get faded, guys.
Hell yeah.
He has many, and I mean many, leather-bound books on shelves made of rich mahogany.
Now, you've heard of gay conversion therapy. Well, this is gray conversion therapy.
I think you're gonna like it.
I'm not braver than you. I'm just drunker than you.
And you're fabulous. You deserve to be told you're fabulous.
What do you think about the podcast?
It sucks.
Nice.
Good day, faders. Today we got Chris, Omar, Andy, Seth, and me, Renee. We have a roundtable discussion about the moon landings with the awesome Dan Smuts from the System is Down podcast.
Whoa, 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 Renee. Did you just say that we have a guy from System of a Down? I'm so excited. Toxicity meant so much to me.
Man, that one album.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Holy shit. Let's call it the System is Down podcast, guys. He's also having his own very media agency called Goulash Media, I'm sorry. And he's busy making a documentary about the moon landings being faked. It's called The Moon, The Myth, and The Legend. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dan Smuts.
Oh,
yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I've gotten so many people make the System of a Down. I can't even say it right anymore. People always get it mixed up. And I've actually had people from other countries try and join our forum. And then I go to their page. I'm like, what brought you to this forum? Just out of curiosity. Then I scroll down. And it's like they've got different bands like Korn and System of a Down and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I'll let you in, but you're not going to like it.
You will not last long. Well, Dan, it's good to have you, man. It's really good to have you. You're the host of the System is Down podcast. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it. We're coming up on, I believe, our third year now. So it's been a little while.
And so as someone who's actually never listened to the podcast, I am not afraid to say that. I am going to after this.
I've never listened to yours either, so it's fine.
I'm in a music season as well. What do you guys typically cover? Are you politics, societal stuff, culture, conspiracy theories, health? What are you guys all about?
Basically, the way I explain it is we talk about all the uncomfortable topics, the things that people don't like to talk about typically, and we do so in a civil manner. Like the three main topics are conspiracies, politics, and religion. So it's kind of just the place to go if you're sick of people being offended by things. So we just have conversations that, annoy people or that shut down conversations a lot of the time. I call it the conversations that your family prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Oh, yeah. Family round tables like, hey, anybody heard about flat earth?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like you'll fit right in then here, Dan. Glad to have you.
Good deal. Thanks for having me.
I have listened to at least one of your episodes. I think it was episode 101 with the Massimo guy, the Italian.
Massimo Mazzucco.
Yes, yeah, that was pretty interesting, getting prepared for this.
I like his clothes. They used to have him at Target.
I was going
to
say, I'm wearing a shirt of Massimo right now. Come on.
And also heard you on, I believe it was Church and Other Jugs with Jed Payne. So shout out to that as well.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. I've also gone on, what is it? Since you guys are bad Christian listeners, you might be familiar with Don't Feed the Trolls, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely.
Of course.
I've been on their show in defense of Flat Earth, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
In defense of Flat Earth, huh?
Matt McDonald, one of my childhood heroes, no longer likes me, it seems.
Oh,
but,
he went on a rant, man. He got angry.
He did. It's fine. I don't mind it. And I don't even necessarily 100% subscribe to that theory. I just really enjoy digging into it and digging into why people believe different things, why people come to different conclusions in life. And, you know, if a person can convince me that the earth is flat, then it is until somebody can convince me that it's not. So I'm just an open-minded individual, and some people take that to mean that I'm a stupid individual, and that's fine too.
I definitely haven't heard any compelling evidence on flat earth, but go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, I actually listened to an episode that you were on today. I found it on YouTube because I was searching your name and Moon Conspiracy, and what came up was a certain podcast of like 3 hours long, and you were talking. And one of the things you said was, hey, my goal is not to convince anyone, or my goal is not to, you know, change people's mind about the moon. It's just, I want to give evidence that I have and let people make up their own minds about it. Yeah. And you know what? I'll respect anyone's opinion about that. And I thought, oh, that's actually pretty cool. Cause I was thinking, and of course it was definitely a preconceived notion that it was possible that you were stupid. But after hearing you say that, I don't think that's the case at all.
Oh, you wouldn't be wrong necessarily, but in my opinion, like, even if somebody is stupid, you should listen to them because you're probably stupid too on certain things. Like, as far as the moon landing goes, for me, like, I wasn't like hardcore sold that it was one way or another way before I started really digging into it. I am now. I have a bias now.
But then
we'll
you started listening
later.
To Owen Benjamin.
Yes. Dude. Guy's a smart guy. But I mean, frankly, it's like you bring up this topic to people and you ask them, you know, do you think that we've landed on the moon? And they're like, of course we have. Why wouldn't we have? And you're like, well, what do you think about people who don't think that we've landed on the moon? And they're like, oh, they're fucking idiot. Is it okay to cuss on this show, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
All right. They're like, they're fucking idiots. And, then it's like, so you're really quick to judge that person and say that they're an idiot or whatever. But then if I ask you, you know, how much do you actually know about the official story of the moon landing? How much do you know about that time frame? How much do you know how many people have walked on the moon? How many countries? They're like, no, I don't know anything about it, but I'm completely sold on this idea with zero evidence or even understanding of anything. It's like, what gives you that... such a bias that you're willing to cut down another human being who has clearly done more research than you because they've come to a controversial decision that makes people hate them. Like, obviously they care more about it. They care enough to have looked into it and you haven't. So why are you so quick to say that they're stupid?
It's a blind faith in people of authority, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like there's a chair and you never check to make sure that the chair is going to, you know, be sturdy, but you sit down in it anyway, right?
Right.
If you were smart, you would check the chair out.
Yeah. And it's kind of like something I've been noticing with my podcast in all three topics, conspiracies, politics, and religion, is that everybody's got this really bad pride issue where everybody's like, I know a thing. I know it. I know that God, I know that NASA, I know that government, I know these things. But then you're like, well, can you tell me why? No, I can't. Just faith in government. Okay, well, that's not good enough for me. And all I'm asking is that you have an open mind, because you're probably dumb too. And it's fine. It's okay. We're all humans. Let's figure shit out together.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that you and I will definitely find common ground on today, is that the government is probably the worst entity to put together anything that's any good.
Yeah, and you've got anti-conspiracy people who are like, there's no way the government could pull off something like that. And it's like, okay, you don't think that the government is smart enough. Like, I run in libertarian circles and stuff, and they're like, oh, well, the government's clearly not smart enough to pull off this conspiracy or hoax. And it's like, but you think the government is smart enough to put a man on the moon in the 1960s under the Nixon administration? Like, either way, you have to give the government some credit, because they did one or the other.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a double standard there.
Well,
yeah.
Dan, before we deep dive into all this moon stuff, which is going to be fascinating for the listeners, I want to know, why podcasting? You know, who is Dan? Like before you even do this documentary on this moon landing that we're going to talk about, you promoting and just everything that you've learned on your journeys through that. Like,
sure.
Why did you get into podcasting? How did that happen?
Sure.
And who is this Dan Smuts?
Sure. Well, if you want a brief history, the prequel series to Dan Smuts, I was raised in a very conservative Christian household. My dad was a pastor, and I wasn't allowed to listen to Creed because they didn't specifically call themselves Christian. If that gives you enough of an overview.
Nobody is allowed to listen to Creed.
Wasn't allowed to listen to
your own personal prison.
Wasn't allowed to listen to POD because they saw the Southtown video where they're getting tattoos and they have dreadlocks and they're yelling and stuff. But long story short, in my parents' defense, they did come around to that stuff, and we're all cool now. It's fine. But
so raised in the faith and still in the faith, then?
Raised in the faith. I've fallen off in the past. I've kind of, like, as hipsters say, deconstructed, reconstructed, all that type of thing. I'm kind of just to a point now where I'm like, that I'm convinced of certain things in faith, but I don't hold so tightly to it that I'm afraid to have an open mind, because whatever is just is, and I can't change it. So, you know, I believe if there is a God, he's okay with me trying. Most people aren't trying to find truth. They're just accepting what they were told. I'm trying to find truth. And if I end up being wrong at the end of it all, and there's a God in heaven who's like, you know, you tried, you were the only person that was trying, but you got it wrong, so fuck off. Like, I have a hard time believing that a creator who made me with this brain would be that way. And I think that, you know, it's laughable, a lot of the religious stuff. I do believe in a God currently. I went through a period where because of some of my not blaming my parents or anything, but because of some of the strict things around God in my childhood, I kind of rebelled against it and was like, I don't know anything, and there's probably not a God. But I've come back around, and I do believe that there is a God, but I have an open mind about it. So there's that.
And you, would you say that kind of led you, I guess, into then your podcasting, your desire to obviously create a podcast around these questions, that questioning, being okay with questioning your faith, questioning pretty much everything that you come in contact with, government, all authorities?
It was the Nephilim.
So, and then you've, I guess, podcasting, I mean, I like asking that question to other podcasters, because
sure,
I know I have the answer for just like, I believe full-heartedly into just being the next printing press, getting your ideas out there for the next generation. That's just pretty much unstoppable. But I want to know why you chose that instead of like blogging or just like a YouTube channel or something like that.
Yeah, well, I would say that I chose podcast in particular just because I was into podcasts at the time. I was listening to stuff, and I'm not much of a reader myself. I have ADHD, so I can't focus on things very well. So I get into audiobooks and podcasting a lot more. So it's more my medium. And I actually worked in the audio production field before what I'm doing now. I tracked bands and stuff and ran some studios. So I had all the stuff to do it. There was no reason for me not to do it. And it kind of just formed because me and some friends would just sit around, have drinks, and get into like deep theological or political or conspiratorial conversations. And I was like, you know, we might as well record these. And it was initially supposed to be that. It was supposed to be the four of us just sitting down having these roundtable discussions about things, but it's kind of turned into a little bit more of a an interview show, and mostly because schedules are difficult. I have no idea how you guys managed to pull off five, six guys doing a thing, because I couldn't get four who are all in like the same local area to do it at the same time. But that's kind of what started it. Just I think that the world needs more
Jesus.
People.
Jesus did it.
The world needs more Jesus, and Jesus did it. Yeah,
no, that's how we get together.
Yeah,
I would disagree with that.
It's miraculous, so I applaud you. But yeah, the show basically just started. You know, it started with I think that we need to have these conversations more. I don't see any reason not to. And as I've gone on and gotten into different topics, it's become more and more. Like I didn't necessarily start out with like an idea or anything. It was just like, let's just talk and record it. But as I've gone on, it's been like, I've had a lot of people come to me and be like, well, your show is really unique because you have an open mind and you listen to people that you disagree with, and you don't shout or call names or anything. And I'm like, that should not be a new thing. That should not be a revelation idea or anything. This should just be normal conversation, because you're a person and I'm a person. If we disagree, let's just have a conversation about it.
You're preaching to the choir there, because that's exactly kind of what we decided to do at the very beginning was, and that's the whole point of Fade to Gray, as Omar would say. Actually, I think our drinking word today should be moon. What do you guys think?
Sure. Take a shot whenever you hear moon.
Only if you're not driving.
Or bottoms up.
But yeah, that's exactly what we did. We said, you know what? We're sick and tired of the little 30-second, you get to do your talking point, and then the next person gets to do their talking point. They talk over each other, and they hate each other. It's like, no, most people have a conversation,
right,
and they don't raise their voices, and there's no drama, and it's like, it's fine.
Yeah, that's and real I think life. That you're, it's not so. Yeah. It's not like a... social media or whatever. Like, it's the opposite of social media. We've gotten into this mode where it's like news talk points. We've got this like 140 characters. You say a thing and then somebody else calls you a name, and that's how we converse now. It's like, why? We're all humans. If you met that person on the street, you want to talk to them in that way, so why are we doing that?
Yeah, it's the problem of social media, I think, and certainly the problem with major news sources.
So,
absolutely,
Dan,
sure.
even though you say it is nuanced, it is whatever. How do you feel about, we mentioned Owen Benjamin? I am a fan. I would say I'd listen to Owen, but yeah, it does bother me the way he goes about his stuff sometimes. Does it bother you at all?
What bothers you?
Just the abrasiveness, and anytime someone questions him, you're not a fan, you're not a true fan, your mother's fucking retarded, blah, blah, blah. It's like, Jesus, like, I get it, man. Like, you're a comedian, and your YouTube channel is a bit different from your comedy act, but it can be a bit blowhardy, and I get where he's coming from, and it's entertaining. It's almost like an Alex Jones type of person. Yeah. But it almost feels like it hurts whatever he's trying to do.
Yeah, it's gotten to a strange point, and I've kind of I listened to a few episodes back when he started getting into the conspiracy stuff, and I found it interesting. But dude, same with Alex Jones. I don't have 3 hours a day to listen to you yell at a microphone. And I really like Owen Benjamin. I like a lot of his talk points. I love his comedy. Yeah, I agree. Like, it's not how I would conduct myself, because if somebody disagrees with me, the way I see it, like, I only know what I know. And if somebody disagrees with me, it's because they came from a different place in life and they've walked a different path. If they're being kind and humble and they come to a different conclusion, if they disagree, then maybe there's something I'm missing. So why wouldn't I listen to them? I don't like his approach in that aspect, but I can see where he's at this point, because he's just getting shit all the time, and he's just like, I don't care. I don't want to deal with any of this. I don't need this. Like, I totally understand where he's coming from, but I wouldn't do it personally.
What, one thing I would say that he does do that is at least something that provides some closure for me, and then we'll move on maybe to the moon landing, is that he does acknowledge when he's been wrong about something, or he'll say, hey, I talked a lot about this person. Turns out he's a really good guy. Moving on. And that's right. That's pretty much almost it. It's like, even though it's not the most valuable big apology, mm-hmm. you know, it's something. And it's like, hey, guys, turns out I was an asshole about that. So sorry about that. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to do that.
Like I said, I haven't kept up on him too much, but I've poked around at some of the highlights and things, and I really enjoy, like, when he started getting into the conspiracy stuff, I was like, he was talking about the moon landing, I was like, well, either this guy's going to disappear really fast, or he's going to eventually get, if he's open-minded enough, he's going to start talking about Flat Earth before too long. And a week later, he's like, guys, I don't know what's happening to me. Like, he's like exploring it. He at least has an open mind. And Alex Jones doesn't even do that. Alex Jones is basically just a political commentator and loudmouth at this point. Like, Alex Jones is off the deep end, and I don't care at all about what he has to say.
Speaking of 5 hours on a podcast, I mean, he was on Rogan for five hours recently.
I watched all 5 hours.
And careful.
Absolutely.
If you say Alex Jones three times in a row, he might show up. It's kind of like Beetlejuice around here, so just be careful.
I've tried it, because I would love to get him on my show. I've actually had...
Alex Jones.
I've actually had his ex-wife on my show as a guest.
Dan.
I've had Kelly Jones, Alex Jones' ex-wife, on my show. That was fun.
Dan, do you not hear the ghost of Alex Jones?
You got to say globalists.
I actually would love to be on the System Is Down podcast, because we all know the globalists are infiltrating every other podcast like that thumb Joe Rogan. I'm looking at you, Joe.
Is it the Texan that's talking right now? Because if not, then you're doing it wrong.
No, it's not me.
That would be the Californian. And we just broke the fourth wall, and I think we should move on to the moon landing, because, dang it, you just ruined the bit for me.
Well, speaking of, you know, we're talking about podcasters who are maybe not as good at respecting people with other opinions. I think before we do start talking about the moon landing, we're probably going to differ in opinion here.
Sure.
But I do think that there's no reason why we can't be respectful of each other. Sure. And I am very excited to have this conversation. So I think the burden of proof is on you, sir. Prove to me why the moon landing is a hoax.
All right. Before we get into that, and again, like I said on all the other podcasts, I'm not here to prove that the moon landing is a hoax. I'm here to explore it and figure out why certain people believe that the moon landing is a hoax. It's kind of like plausible deniability. Maybe it makes me a schmuck. Maybe it means that I'm just not owning up to it. I don't think that we did land on the moon, but I'm not. My job isn't to try and convince people that we didn't. My job is to, with this documentary, say, these people that you're saying are retards, actually, they are making a lot of good points. So shut your mouth, because you're being much more stupid than they are by shouting them down instead of just conversing and talking about it. So before we get into any of that, let's take a poll. Who here thinks that of this gigantic circle of friends, who thinks that we did land on the moon with humans, and who thinks that we haven't?
I'm Chris, and I'm raising my hand that we landed on the moon.
Yeah, me too. Seth, I'm raising my hand.
I'm Andy, and I do not believe we landed on the moon.
High five, Andy.
I very much believe that we landed on the moon.
Okay.
And Omar here, I'm kind of in the same boat. You are pre-research, where growing up, I heard a lot of evidence saying that we did not, and it made sense. I don't trust the government. I'm really into questioning everything as well. While we kind of started this whole thing at Fade to Gray, talking about the moon, drink. And
I didn't know we could give a nuanced answer like that. I would have said that shit.
So
that was perfect.
So I'm gonna go with we did not go to the moon. I'm on the did not.
Okay. So we've got what, 2 versus 4 here at this point?
3 versus 3.
Yeah, that's about
Omar
right.
Omar and Andy. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, myself. Never mind. I forgot about me.
You are valuable, Dan. You are a full human.
Your opinion matters.
That's how humble I am. I didn't even notice myself on the screen. But
there you go.
No, whatever. I'm not sure who to direct this conversation toward, but I'm going to say Christopher because do you go by Chris or Christopher?
Chris is fine.
Okay. Chris, what do you know about the moon landing? As somebody who thinks that we definitely did, how much do you know about the moon landing?
I'll just say this. You know, obviously we grew up learning about the moon landing. It's something that, because I'm not a Christian like these other fellas, so it's something to me.
Going to hell.
That most likely that, you know, really piques my interest. I almost have religious experiences when it comes to talking about space or like, for example, when New Horizons, you know, whenever it finally got to Pluto, it was such an experience for me. Right. So yeah. The moon landing means a lot to me in that way. But once again, like I wouldn't say that that's me, saying I 100% believe it. That's me having faith that it happened. Sure. Right. So what I would say is that I think there's more evidence that we did go, such as we have obviously like all the, data, all the paperwork from it. We have
somebody
does.
No, they don't. NASA does not. It's gone.
Okay. We'll get into that. We've got images. We've got video, which I'm sure you'll talk about that too. We have, you know, the people that actually went as a primary source to say, hey, we actually went there, which Andy's giving me the thumbs down.
Buzz Aldrin is crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really see the whole big reason why to even, like, first of all, if it didn't happen, does that really affect my life? And if it, you know, I don't know. It's to me, it's not that big of a deal if it didn't actually happen. I understand at the time there was a big race to space, but
yeah, I think that is the whole point of the moon landing and flat Earth. It's just a distraction of the real bad shit that's happening. I think I view these conspiracies more as distracting shit from the real bad stuff. And I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm an engineer and I've seen the budget that went into there, about 20 billion. And I've seen the amount of time they got, about 40 years. Sorry, man, but we're an offshore industry and we don't know shit about rockets. But if you got 40 years and $20 billion, man, we're going to the moon.
So, Chris, that's
completely separate from the government or anything because, yeah, government. But it's just the engineering stubbornness of, like, if you can dream it, you can do it. And I don't get, like, when you got some operation.
I can dream that I can fly. That doesn't mean I can do it.
Oh, you can try.
I can try. Yeah, and I can fail just like NASA did.
just strap on a jetpack and go and fly.
But, burn your legs off.
No, I mean, it's from an engineering perspective, everything's possible. You just build it and strap it on your body and go with it. But I think
they did.
Renee's over here talking about strap-ons.
So, are you guys familiar with Apollo 1? What happened in that situation?
It wasn't a good situation.
Educate us.
The first Rocky?
Yeah. Apollo 1.
he was knocked out by that
first
Russian rocket.
Dude,
right?
So you say, you strap something on, you go for it. They tried, you know, most people, it's funny that nobody knows about Apollo 1 where, NASA was just kind of floundering around trying to keep up with Russia and what Russia was doing. And Apollo 1, they're like, we've got this giant rocket. We're going to do it because we're America. Go America. Fuck yeah. And, they're like 3, 2, 1. Boom, burns up on the launch pad. 3 people die. Why isn't that in our history books?
Nah, it is on Wikipedia, of course. But
Yeah. Everything's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, of course. But
well, in Texas, Hillary Rodham Clinton is no longer part of our history books.
Who knows? Let's just say, what did you expect? I mean, engineering is trial and error most of the time. And if you strap some guys on a tin can. and fill that tin can up with liquid fuel and just ignite it. What did you expect, man? The first time, it would be a freaking miracle. Yeah. And it's
true. You're absolutely right. And that's what happened. And so, Chris, do you know how many people have walked on the moon and how many countries?
How many people have walked on the moon in how many countries?
Like from how many countries? How many countries have put a man on the moon and how many people?
As far as I know, there's only been like 3 people on the moon.
No, dude.
Seth, do you want to weigh in?
I thought that it was only us that had landed there.
Just to be honest, the 6 of us here?
No. The United States. I forget, Renee. It's the United States.
Sure. Renee, do you know how many people have walked on the moon? Stop Wikipediaing.
Sorry, man.
Check the sources.
I always thought I've been looking at what the Russians tried to do back in that time, and they built like a monster rocket. But
yeah, but they didn't make it.
No, not at all.
They kind of gave up, right?
That rocket was a big failure. And and so I believe the only country that went to the moon is the USA, and and I think the reason the reason why they went is that they thought there was oil on the moon.
What?
No, of course not.
So, 12 men have walked on the moon in 6 missions. Nobody knows that for some reason. That's the thing, and I'm not like saying these things condescendingly, because until I started doing research for this documentary, I had no idea. We all just kind of are like, yeah, that happened, and let's move on with our lives. Nobody actually thinks about it or researches it or talks about it. 6 men, or 12 men in 6 missions have walked on the moon.
And they're all Masons.
What?
They're all Masons.
Whatever. From 1969 to 1972, all under the Nixon administration. And we all know that Nixon was a really honest guy who did everything by the book. That's what he's known for in history.
He was not a crook.
He was not a crook until he was. But so to the thing about this conspiracy theory, I don't like using that phrase because it's a CIA made, but the whole thing about this theory of thought is it doesn't take a giant stretch of the imagination to believe it, because it's not like your 9/11s or your the Earth is flat or anything like that. It's basically all you have to do is understand history to believe this, because so to put it in perspective, we're like in the Cold War. We're in this quote-unquote space race with Russia. Not really in a space race with Russia. Russia puts a satellite up, Sputnik, and then they put the first man, Yuri Gagarin, into orbit. And we're like, hey, we're going to do it. And JFK is like, yeah, within the next 10 years, we're going to put a man on the moon. And there's a bunch of propaganda that's coming out, Disney, cartoons, all these things saying, when we get to the moon, it's going to look like this. We're being told over and over again, we're going to the moon, it's going to look like this. All you have to believe is we tried, we failed, so we pretended because we're America. Go America. That's basically the basis of this. I mean, there's a lot of other conspiracy people who take it to weird extremes of like, we got to the moon, and then like I've been on other interviews where they're like, what do you think about the people who say like we went to the moon but then aliens told us to go back and never return? It's like, well, that would mean that we got to the moon. That would mean that we got to the moon. That would mean all this evidence that I have that we didn't go to the moon is not true. So why are we even talking about that? Like, that's a much farther stretch of the imagination. I'm not talking about aliens or reptilians or Illuminati. Like, I like exploring all the crazy conspiracy stuff, but really all it takes is even if you believe 100% that the government is legit and they tried their best and they failed, so they pretended to make us look good, because we needed a win. This is around the time of Vietnam War, Cold War, all these things going on, and we just needed to look like we needed a morale boost.
Yeah, basically. That was exactly what I was thinking first. Like, I used to do not a lot of research in the moon. I mean, I'm in offshore industry, so I don't care about space. But then I did. And my first assumption was actually that we didn't go because you guys needed some good news because you were losing the Viet Cong and the Vietnam War and the space race, of course. So yeah. That was my pre-assumption. Like, yeah, this is probably like a propaganda stunt and probably organized by some famous Germans that you guys stole from Germany.
Yeah. During most people don't know about that. They don't know about Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
Paperclip, yep.
Oh, yeah. I said paperclip like an SEO guy. Been in marketing too long. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Dan. So the people who sent us there is obviously NASA. And I've heard a lot of different things about NASA and the certain imagery that they put out in their logos, all that sort of stuff. Sure. Why is NASA evil? Do you have any knowledge about NASA? Why are they, you know, getting $25 billion a year? Why are people saying that they're the worst people on the planet?
Don't you Why are they getting $25 billion a year? That's a great question.
Don't you know the logo is exactly?
From one of the podcasts today that NASA in Hebrew actually means deception.
Yeah, they got the tip of a snake tongue there in the logo.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. I mean, it's laughable, kind of, but it is there. For this particular documentary, I'm not even going down those things. I'm trying to like laser focus in on the very specific, thing. Like you can take, like I said, all these conspiracy stuff, all the evil satanic, whatever cabal stuff. I like that. I like digging into it. There might be some legitimacy to it. I think that there very well could be, but you don't even need that. You can take all that off the table, and still, this thing doesn't add up based on what NASA has said. Just from, are you guys familiar with the Van Allen radiation belts?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. The next question.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm very familiar with the Van Allen belts, yeah.
I love Van Halen.
So the Eddie Van Allen radiation belts.
Panama.
There was a long before 1969 when man first walked on the moon. A man named Van Allen discovered these belts of radiation that supposedly surround the Earth. Terrible, dangerous radiation. Scientists talked for years. This is not conspiracy. This is not conjecture. This is science. Scientists said that this is dangerous radiation. It's going to be really hard to get through. I doubt that we could ever possibly get through it. And then JFK said, we're going to go to the moon within 10 years. And so close to the end of that 10 years, for some reason, those Van Allen radiation belts, they just kind of went away for 4 years. We didn't talk about them. And now they're back. And now NASA they say that they can't send a man to the moon. They literally, now 50 years later, when my phone here has more technology in it than that rocket, like a million times more computing power than that rocket had. They didn't even have touch screens. That tin can got a man to the moon through the radiation belts in six men in the span of 4 years. And now NASA is putting out videos saying, we're going to, in these new missions, we're going to send men to Mars and to the moon, but to do so, we got to get through these dangerous belts of radiation. What the hell are you talking about? We did that. We did that in the 60s.
Don't they intensify and de-intensify? Because what I read is that there was like a quote-unquote safe zone that they sent the astronauts through each time, and that the radiation that they encountered was actually less than what people who work in radiology, what they experience.
The thing about this is, like, in order to, that's not even like the best bit of evidence, because in order to use that as evidence against the idea that we went, you have to believe NASA. You have to believe that NASA is right when they say that there were belts or that there are belts, because I don't know. I can't prove that there are belts. Sure. So I have to believe NASA in order to believe that NASA's lying. So it's kind of like a catch-22, but NASA, what they're saying, or what they said before and what they're saying now doesn't add up with what they were saying at the time. And maybe they found some escape hatch that they wiggled their way through the radiation belts. But there's a documentary out there by Bart Sibrel. He's the guy, if you're familiar with the video where Buzz Aldrin punches the dude in the face, that's the guy. He made two documentaries about the moon. One is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which has a bunch of crazy stuff in it. The second one was, I can never remember it, Astronauts Gone Wild was the name of it. It's on YouTube. Both of them are. In Astronauts Gone Wild...
I think Seth has a copy of that somewhere in his DVD collection.
Oh, my goodness.
In Astronauts Gone Wild, the whole documentary is just him tracking down the different astronauts that supposedly went to the moon, and he's confronting them kind of deceptively. He's kind of being a little shady.
He made them swear on the Bible.
Yes, he's making them swear on the Bible, which I think is complete bullshit. As a Christian, I think that is complete bullshit, and he's kind of a shady asshole. The things that he got out of it, I think, are important, because he got one astronaut, I don't remember which one it was, but he has him, and he's just like, he presents it like, I'm from such and such news or something, and he's like, I just wanted to ask you an interview and whatever.
Was that in Armstrong's house, that he went in there and he was in his house and he forgot his microphone, and Armstrong was like, should I call the CIA to whack him?
Yeah, that wasn't Armstrong. It was another guy.
It was another guy. Oh, yeah. He was really, really pissed.
Yeah, there's a few of them. The whole thing is really interesting. But one guy in particular that I find the most interesting, he asks him, so how did you guys navigate through the Van Allen radiation belts? And the astronaut says, well, I don't think we went up high enough to encounter the Van Allen radiation belts. And Bart says, well, they're only 1,000 miles out or something. And the guy's like, oh, well, then we definitely did. We must have went right through them. We didn't even notice. It's like, you are one of 12 men where your entire job, your entire life, putting your entire life on the line for this discovery to go to the moon. You had to have known that you were going through the radiation belts. There's no way that you couldn't have, because your life depends on it. And you didn't even know where they were. Like, you're completely ignorant to the location of these radiation belts that would have very likely killed you.
Maybe that's something NASA didn't divulge to them, so they would go ahead and do the mission anyway.
Well, but you can accept that, but you trust NASA?
No, I'm just throwing stuff out there because I have no idea.
It's a possibility, but sure. In that case, NASA is a shady bastard either way. So yeah.
Well, let me make a distinction between NASA and 400,000 engineers that worked on this project. As an engineer myself, I am way too stubborn to listen to. The goal is the most important thing to me.
Sure.
And it's not like who's giving me the... Yeah, I got the order to create something. I got the budget. I got the time. And the only thing that counts is the deadline. And you work through the deadline. And you make it a success. And you be proud of it. So there's government involved. But there's 400,000 stubborn engineers who probably... there's 400,000 Sheldons. Yeah. How are you going to convince 400,000? I mean, there's like different divisions, of course. So one division doesn't know about the division above and above and above. Yep. But there's still 400,000 Sheldons. I don't know.
Are you just trying to say that they would be all corroborating the same story?
How could they possibly keep this quiet? 400,000 people. How could they shut them all up? I've gotten that question a million times.
I'm glad
you asked it, because it's a really important question. I think it's important. Of course, absolutely. The problem with that question is that's assuming... So, especially as an engineer, you know how this works. The layperson, not you in particular, but the layperson seems to assume that for the government to hoax this, to fake this, they would have to... Like, NASA is this gigantic warehouse of 400,000 people. They brought all 400,000 people together, guys... Hey, everyone.
No.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying this is what most people seem to think about conspiracy-minded people. Like, they must have brought them all together and convinced them all to keep their mouths shut. There were 400,000 people involved in the creation of this, but those 400,000 people were contracted out on all these different projects. They were all... The thing is, this wasn't a conspiracy or a hoax from the get-go. This was, we tried, we failed, the end. They were trying to get us to the moon. Yeah. So 400,000 people were trying to make a rocket. Then when they realized that they couldn't do it, they said, okay, well, a couple people only need to know about this. Let's pretend like we did. The end. Like 400,000 people had no clue. They were doing their jobs. They weren't involved in the conspiracy or the cover-up at all. They were just doing their job to make a rocket. That's all.
Can I ask you a quick question, Dan?
Sure.
So are you saying, because I'm hearing you talk about rockets. Are you saying that we've never been able to create a rocket that can get out of Earth's gravity?
I'm saying that I don't believe that we have put men on the moon.
Okay.
I'm saying that it's possible that I think it's totally possible that we've put men into orbit. The thing is, we're talking like before this, leading up to this, we put men into orbit like, what is it, like 400 miles up. And then all of a sudden, when we're really close to deadline, 36,000 miles before sending a monkey or an animal or testing this radiation or anything, we went from 400 miles to 36,000 miles in a very short amount of time to meet a deadline. Which,
well, that's because PETA wouldn't let them.
They'd let them send animals. Thank you,
PETA.
PETA
again.
There's recently a documentary. Well, it's not out yet, but I just saw it at the True False Film Festival, and it's called Apollo 11. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm unsure if this is like unseen footage or how this all worked, but it's... the whole movie is actual footage.
Sure.
The entire thing, including them in space. And not all, I said.
Directed by Stanley Kubrick, right?
No.
Yeah. If you watched the credits, you didn't watch the credits, did you?
But like I said earlier, that all three walked on the moon, they didn't. Only two of them did.
Yeah.
No.
But I'm just, I after
who
seeing
is that
the
poor motherfucker that didn't get to walk on the moon that actually got to land on
well,
it? Like,
no,
if that was me, I'd be fucking jumping out of there.
Someone had to stay in the ship.
Yeah, do you guys know how the rocket system works? Do you guys know like the how?
Yeah,
so
I know, but
you do.
Go on and tell.
Sure. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, so if I'm wrong, that's fine. But to my understanding, and most people aren't even aware, like, people always hear, like, oh, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, they got to go out onto the moon's surface, but this guy had to stay behind. What's the deal with that? It's like, well, the thing is, the big challenge that we were trying to overcome was, so you've got the rocket, shoots up, the rockets come off, then you've got the orbiter that has a capsule on it, that goes up to the moon, and the capsule goes and lands on the moon, then the orbiter stays in rotation around the moon, and then afterwards, so one guy has to stay on the orbiter while two guys go down in the capsule, and then they come back, and then that has to come up and dock with the orbiter, and then...
Oh, so the one guy didn't even get to actually land on the moon.
No.
Right.
They must have drawn straws.
Drawn straws for who gets to act which part in this movie.
That brings me to the next question. What do you think is more expensive, actually faking it or doing the real thing?
100% doing the real thing is more expensive.
No,
because,
it's
not. Explain.
Making a slow motion video of 149 minutes long is going to be more expensive. Making the lighting requires so many lasers to parallel for the parallel lighting that the sun makes. It doesn't make sense at all. Also, NVIDIA made an exact replica of what happened on the moon, and they couldn't figure out the physics until they put in all the physics that are required, like all the physics. And then they could actually light up Mr. Buzz stepping out of his vehicle. And so I don't know. it was 1969. We did not have the technology to make such big slow motion videos or anything like that. We were simply.
What about 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Why not?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
That's awesome. Legit.
Yeah, but that's like
looks more realistic. A lot of years actually.
Yeah, that's a lot of years after that, I think.
Okay.
69 versus 2001.
1968.
Yeah, 1968. Really?
So the year before. Oh, darn.
Fuck. There goes my argument, man. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and part of the reason why I know a lot of people tie Stanley Kubrick to it. That's another tidbit that's interesting. I don't necessarily think that Stanley Kubrick has to be a part of it for it to be a hoax, but a lot of the reasons why the conspiracists say that Stanley Kubrick was probably a part of it, you can watch, there's a documentary called Room 237 or whatever. I think it's on Netflix, but it's all about the little hints that Stanley Kubrick put into The Shining. And at the time, Stanley Kubrick was ahead of his time as far as building, like a lot of people say that they couldn't have possibly made a set massive enough or a studio massive enough to get these shots, but Stanley Kubrick was working on technology. It's called a silkscreen projection. It's where you have this very reflective material in front of your actors, and then you have your set that is just like a normal sound studio. And it can be as small or big as a warehouse. And then you project this massive expanse on the background, on the backdrop. And actually, I mean, that. It's what he used in 2001: A Space Odyssey, which you just proved came out the year before this movie did. But so if you look at the footage and the pictures of the moon landing, there's always this divider line, which is it seems to people who tie Stanley Kubrick into this, it seems like silkscreen projection technology, because there's always a small horizon and then there's the background. It looks real, it flows together perfectly, but your eye doesn't pick up on the fact that there's always a line there. There's always a divider between the foreground and the background, which is exactly the technology that Stanley Kubrick was working on at the time.
When you say a line, what are you talking about? Like yeah, give
I
me a little
the
bit
horizon
more on that.
Just where the two things meet. It's just so minor that right. Your eyes cannot
like
even
where the moon and the night sky meet.
No, like you have a foreground and a background. Like you've got rocks here that look a certain way, and then you've got kind of a line. It's very like your brain doesn't even pick up on it as a difference. Just like when you're watching a movie, but there's a line between what is there and what is behind it. There's always something dividing it. So it could easily, I'm not saying that it is, but it could easily have been this front screen projection technology that they were doing at the time and using for filming. And a lot of people say that, oh, we didn't have the technology to film this, because of like zooming in on stuff, camera work and whatever. We had a simulator. We had a moon simulator. At the time, NASA had the tech. I'm not saying that we haven't sent probes. We haven't sent, rockets up there with robots and things to inspect.
Apollo 8 went full circle around it.
Sure it did. But they had a simulator for the moon long before they sent men up there. Like there's a plaster replica in great detail of the moon, zooming in on it, showing what it would look like when we land on the moon. Like they basically showed that we can stage it because they were doing it. They were simulating it for the astronauts long before we needed to, convince the world that.
And do you think that's
thing.
A typical government move? Like we're just going to smash it in your face just a little bit more. We're just going to rub it in. This is going to sting. And you're going
to
realize
it could be, but
later.
It doesn't even have to be. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be a crazy Alex Jones conspiracy theorist to believe any of this stuff. It's like, do you trust your government? If not, then do you think your government lies sometimes? What if they lied just because they were like, hey, we need a win right now? And Kennedy said that thing before he lost his head, and now we need to, like, you can take all the conspiracy stuff off the table and just look at this as these are people who are, these are scientists who are trying to meet a deadline. What was his name? James Webb. He was the NASA administrator. His, like, 20 years of his life, basically giant part of his life, his whole life was dedicated to this mission, this project of putting a man on the moon. So leading up to it, he said, back early on, he said, yeah, we're going to put a man on the moon. And then, a year or so before, I don't remember exactly the details, but a year or so before, he was like, you know, we'll be lucky if we can put a man on the moon. Like, he was kind of waffling on it. And then, like, it was like 3 to 6 months before we put a man on the moon, this guy who dedicated his entire life, he's like, I'm gone. I'm out. He just peaced out and retired. Like, why would you do that? That was your entire life was built up to that point. And now you're like, just going to leave. And there was actually another astronaut. I don't remember his name offhand. There was a couple people in like his second in command, like 3 or 4 people that were really high up shortly before we pulled off this greatest achievement in human history. They're just like, no, we're going to go now, which to a conspiracy-minded individual seems a little shady. It seems like they might have been like, you know, maybe the government was like, hey, we can't do this, but we're going to say that we did, and we're going to pull this off. Are you guys in? They're like, no, we're not in. Sorry. We're out, because that goes against what we believe.
I wonder if anyone's ever interviewed those guys before and, you know, gotten their response from that.
I don't know, but if you've got their information, send them to Dan at tsidpod.com.
Dan, I have a quick question for you. We're talking about all this, and you just bring up the subject of the moon landing, I've noticed, even within the circle that we have here at Fade to Gray, that it can get people really emotional.
Right.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that people get so like wrapped up in wanting to defend something, and then you start like pushing it, and then, like you said, there's not a whole lot of, you know, we don't really know. You know, we're just being fed these different stories, and it's like whatever story you choose to believe. But then why does it come with so much ferocity of having to defend that point of view and get
that's
like,
a great question, and that's kind of the entire point of the documentary is why do they? I mean, if I had to guess, I mean, we're still early on in the creation of this documentary, but if I had to guess, it would just be because, you know, this is a big achievement of, you know, our country. I'm a patriot. I love this country. I'm not a communist asshole or anything. I don't know. I love the country. I think that we're doing some things wrong. But most people, it's like, I love the country so much that whatever the government says, I'm on board. Let's go. I'm not that way. I don't believe it. I think the reason why people get riled up about it, I don't understand why Renee gets riled up about it, who just walked out, so we can dog on him now. I don't understand why he gets riled up about it, because he doesn't
really
even
upset.
Live here. Oh, I know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's kind of what I'm trying to explore, is why do people get upset? Like, is it just because you have so much pride in your country that you can't possibly accept the fact that possibly your government that you often say on Facebook lies to you, lied to you in a different way?
I've heard it put as even offensive. Like, it's offensive to even bring up the subject. Like,
Like
if you even bring up the subject and question it, then like you're doing something that's an insult to people who've spent
their
lives.
Yeah, there was some sports ball guy. I don't remember his name offhand.
Sports
ball
guy.
Michael Jordan.
That's the one. No, I thought I had it here in my notes. I do somewhere. But there's a sports ball man who came out saying, he was just like in an interview with, he was just on some podcast or radio show or something, and they were like, yeah, do you think that we will land on the moon? He's like, no. He just flippantly said, no, I don't think we did. And they're like, really? And he's like, no, I don't think so. Dude got like just like ripped to shreds after that.
You're not talking about what's his name who believes in flat Earth, are you?
No, that's the other
point
one.
The point guard for the Celtics, I believe. What's his name? He used to play with
I don't remember either one's name. But
this is why we no longer have a sports segment right here, guys.
two different sports ball people who came out controversially saying, "Hey, we might not know everything." That's basically all they're saying. This guy, I mean, I don't know if he 100% believes
Kyrie
it, but
Irving,
he
that was
just
my guy.
Kyrie Irving, he's the flat Earth guy, right? Or he was until he was shamed into backpedaling, but I can't find it. Some sports ball man.
One out of two is good. We got one name in.
There you go. We'll say it's Kyrie Irving. Why not? Because, you know, nobody believes anything I say at this point anyway. But he came out saying just, you know, he was just like, you know, no, I don't think we did land on the moon. Like, I don't know if he's done his research. I don't know if he has points to back his argument or anything, but the news people just came out in droves, and they're like, I have clips of it just in the trailer for the documentary I used where these people are like, you should be ashamed of yourself. This is like denying the Holocaust. This is like denying, denying slavery. You should like, you're a disgrace to your family. You're a disgrace to your, the fine schools that you went to. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, yeah. What?
Like,
so
this
if you
dude is just saying, maybe the government lied to us, yeah, and you're taking it to that extreme. Why are you so mad is the real question here.
I think the reason that people get really upset about that is because people put a lot of faith in unknown things, right? So like there are civilizations that worshiped the sun and the moon, right? And I don't know anything about how things get passed down generationally, but to me, the moon is a celestial body that, you know, people almost revere. Yeah. And so it's like when you talk about that we've gone there and that we've actually got to touch the surface of it, that means something to people.
Sure.
And I think that that's probably why you get a lot of people upset. Now, I don't get upset about it. And I really, really love space and science. Yeah. And I always have. I've always found some sort of weird connection to it.
Yeah, same.
But
honestly, same.
But there,
like,
yeah,
I love the idea that we have, but I'm trying to keep an open mind. And as I, like, as I do this documentary, I'm just going to be as honest as possible. And I'm like, I'm unbiased. Or no, I am completely biased because I'm a human, and every single one of you who are watching this, you have a bias too. So why wouldn't I? Why would you expect me to not? But I'm going to hear out everybody. If you can change my mind, I suppose, if you can like show me why I'm wrong. But the more I dig, the more it's like, this is not adding up. And Chris, one of the things that you said as evidence for why we've definitely landed on the moon was the papers and the video and stuff. The initial film, NASA says that they taped over or they lost it. They don't have it anymore.
Yeah,
and
except for Apollo 11, apparently.
Apollo 11 is what they taped over.
Well, that's the documentary that Seth was talking about. He just
It's in the process. It's going to be released here soon.
No, the thing is, we're not talking about the footage. There's footage out there, of course. You can look it up on YouTube.
Telemetry,
it's been copied
data,
and copied,
right?
And copied.
Yeah, the telemetric data.
No, but the telemetry data and the initial film, the film that it was initially captured on.
That was received in America and in Australia. So
but there's not the initial film.
No, but do you know how expensive film was? They probably taped over it, like you said.
Yeah, because they had a pageant or something.
Everything
cost
a nickel. My grandfather told me when he was growing up.
No, that's
it wasn't that
expensive. Come on, Renee.
Yes,
you know the
U.S.
government's going to spend a little bit of money to film stuff like that.
It was expensive, but we're talking about building the Great Wall of China in space. This is like the greatest achievement in mankind history.
Yeah, that's not something you tape over.
And we're just like, we won't need that in the future, I'm sure.
There's still images, is there? There's still images. There's still films on there. You can still watch the film.
But what about the original?
The original,
right. The original is what we're talking about. And also the photos that they took. I mean, there's tons of stuff. Like, we're only scratching the surface here. The photos that they took. If these Van Allen radiation belts are there, according to high level photographers, you can't take film at that time or even now through an x-ray machine at an airport and have it not be distorted or damaged. but we got it from the moon and we live streamed from the moon. I have a really hard time getting a cell phone reception when I go down a hill. But in 1969, we live streamed video from the moon.
Yeah, well, I think on the film thing, I worked in a photo lab for 8 years. I really think that if they had certain, you know, special casing for it or certain ways to...
They don't claim
that.
Well,
how do we know
that? We've asked them.
Well, has anyone...
Yes.
And what do they say?
No. Like, these are just regular cameras. I don't remember the camera company, but people have dug into this. They know what cameras they are. They know, you know... whether or not they had the special casing, and people often say, you know, well, we got through the Van Allen radiation belts without these people being, you know, damaged in any way because, you know, they must have had, like, lead casing in the rocket. But the rocket was made out of aluminum. The rocket was made as lightweight as they possibly could.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. it just, NASA doesn't even claim that they had special casing or they had special cameras or anything.
Yeah. That is interesting then. Yeah.
Well, Dan, it's been an amazing conversation. I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody's going to be convinced one way or the other, and that's really, I guess, what you're saying is not really your point, but to have a civil conversation with people that may not agree.
Hey, fuck you, Omar.
Well, I mean, take a number, stand in line.
Well said.
Take a number, stand in line.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I've loved having you on, obviously. I mean, there's... gonna be people listening. Hopefully you weren't too triggered. Hopefully it's one of those things
I don't know what that means.
encourage.
Let me ask you one last thing, if you don't mind. Can
I'm trying to wrap up. Fine. Whatever, Chris. Don't let me.
I want to wrap up too, but
I
just
go on for days. I can talk about this for days.
Yeah, me too.
Go ahead.
It's real fun.
I want to ask one more thing. I'm just curious because you say that you're a space lover. And that you know, you're not trying to really convince anybody here, but my question would be, why get so passionate about this and make a documentary about it? Is this like, you know, that there's a niche market of people who are really into this and you're thinking,
go ahead and
like,
say
oh,
it, cash grab,
money
man,
off this?
Chris, no. Say it.
Is this a cash grab?
Or this thing from a cash
why
grab
are you
ever?
So passionate
you
about
found
this?
Found an awesome title and had to do something with it.
Pretty much. No. honestly, like, it's so far from a cash grab, it's laughable because I've got an Indiegogo page up as evidence that it's not a cash grab because nobody's buying it. Just kidding. I mean, we're close to goal, but I set the goal on Indiegogo as low as I possibly could because I don't necessarily need money for it. And I say that in the trailer. I don't need money. I'm passionate about this, because I think that it's really important that people humble themselves. It's really important that people keep an open mind. And we are in a time where everything is just... Excuse me. You said moon too many times and I drank too much. We are in a time where, you know, just... I've got two kids. And... right now, you can't say certain things. You can't say certain words without people getting offended. I have a problem with that.
Oh, I know. I'm experienced.
I mean, it's as simple as, like, if you walk down the street wearing a certain hat, somebody will call you a racist Nazi. I have a problem with that. And I'm not a Trump supporter or anything. I'm just a person who thinks that we need to treat people with respect. And we need to humble ourselves enough in conspiracies, politics, and religion, we need to humble ourselves enough to listen to the person that you think is stupid, to listen to the person that might be stupid, because they actually might have a tidbit of information that you haven't received. And so why are we so quick to go, fuck that guy, he doesn't think we landed on the moon? Like, I'm not necessarily passionate about convincing people that we haven't landed on the moon. I'm passionate about letting the next generation discover this thing that opens their mind enough to, I suppose, you know, enjoy life even. Like, know what is, know truth, seek out truth and explore. We've kind of boxed ourselves in as a society. We don't explore anymore. Like, we don't have the sense of wonder and imagination that we used to because everybody's afraid. Everybody's afraid of somebody calling them crazy or stupid. You should.
Yeah.
You should. You should
yes.
be crazy
and
stupid.
If I haven't heard or seen about it, in my Instagram feed, it's probably weird, and you're probably a dummy and a alt-right weirdo, or like a whatever, a crazy Christian or crazy whatever else. Like, if you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, and they haven't seen it or are not familiar with it, weird, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If you're authentic, if you say your mind, if you actually are just honest with yourself, you're weird these days to extent that people get offended.
Well, we love the weirdos here at FTG.
Yes.
And honestly, like, I mean, I'm glad you asked that question, Chris, because it really ties into like the wrap up, because that's your answer was perfect and beautiful. And it really is kind of captures the heart of what we're doing and why I think this conversation was so beautiful and so fun. And I enjoyed it because you have that heart of like wanting to like spread. It's almost like, it sounds cheesy, but that's kind of like how I describe love. You know what I mean? It's like the selflessness, like really considering the person in front of you and how their opinion is just as valuable and as important as yours, your own.
Well, Dan, I don't know that I can get behind the moon landing being fake, but I can certainly get behind the philosophy you were just talking about.
Go,
really
go pre-order
like
the documentary and maybe I can convince you.
Sure. Well, actually, do you want to plug that real quick? Like, where can people go and check that out at?
Sure, yeah. Well, for the podcast, you can go to tsidpod.com. It's called The System Is Down, or System of a Down, or whatever. I don't know. It's on all the main platforms like Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all those things. It's on YouTube. I do video and release that on YouTube as well of all the conversations I have. The documentary itself is called The Moon, The Myth, The Legend. And like I said, we have an Indiegogo campaign going on right now. And I don't care about money. It's basically just there as a pre-order. I set the goal as low as it would allow me to do because I do video for a living. So
which just happened to be $75,000. I don't know. It looked, I don't know if it was down that day, the default. I don't know. Well, right on. Yeah,
you know.
Everybody should go check it out, man. I'm definitely going to be subscribing to your podcast. I'll be supporting you on, you said, Kickstarter.
Yeah. Indiegogo. Indiegogo. You can find it. The easiest way to find it is just moonmythlegend.com or cool. themoonthemythlegend.com.
Also,
it's all on there.
Also, check out As Good As Media. We cater to the little guy with the big vision.
Yes, I do graphic design, video, and everything media at goulashmedia.net.
So actually, yeah, Dan, we may hit you up for some stuff here shortly.
Cool. Do it. I dare you.
For real, Dan Smotz, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on Fade to Gray, and we will be sure to all subscribe to The System Is Down or The System of a Down. Wake up!
Hey, seriously, though, Dan, also, I want to know all you know about Freemasons and everything related, because it's one of
we're gonna have
one
you
of my
on
wet
again.
Dreams.
We need to have you on again for other conspiracies. I'd like to talk Flat Earth, actually.
No,
like
don't do
flat
it.
Earth. I'd like to talk Freemasons.
Got,
why
we
not?
We got like a total station on the back, and it can actually measure the curvature, so that's... Oh, man.
But we can talk Freemasons and the Illuminati and shit
can
like
I get
that.
A different point of contact? Because Renee's my least favorite person.
Renee's my least favorite person.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, just get a Marco Polo, then you have all of us. If you are a Marco Polo, yeah,
that's
true. We'll get hold of
that
you.
Is whole,
that's true.
That's absolutely cool. Hilarious.
Go watch the Flat Earth on Netflix. It's really funny.
I am going to kill you right now,
dude.
Be careful, Renee's got ties with the Nazis. His grandpa was a Nazi.
Yeah, that's true. But
and Dan, you already feel like one of us. You're part of home because you're saying stuff we say every day.
Yeah, we like you.
Everybody wants to kill Renee. Why is this guy even here?
We actually play fuck, kill, marry, and
Renee gets killed every time.
Man. I got fucked that shit, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think
no,
got,
that was,
I think
what was it?
Fucked.
yeah, something like that.
I think it was called the revenge fuck, if I remember correctly.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's real German of you guys.
If I was gonna play in this group, marry, fuck, or fuck, kill, or whatever.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
I'm gonna go with I would kill Renee.
Of course.
Then
of course.
I would marry him and fuck his corpse.
Great. That's awesome.
I think for the marriage,
sounds Christian.
Marriage might need to come first.
Nope. It's 2019, man. Have an open mind.
There you go. I like that.
I can marry whatever corpse I want.
Dan, seriously, thanks a lot. Really appreciate your
man.
Time.
Thanks for having
and,
me.
And I think we'd love to have you on again to talk more conspiracy stuff.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Hit me up anytime.
Me too.
I'm down.
What is up, Fade to Gray family? There is a brand new podcast in town. Fade to Gray's own Elizabeth Williams has started a new podcast called Four in Tow, a not-so-conservative homeschool podcast. She's a homeschool mom of four who occasionally drops the F-bomb. You see, Elizabeth grew up as a homeschool student, and she's been homeschooling now for 4 years. And she knows that there is a desperate need of community and encouragement for all the other homeschool moms and dads out there. If you're interested in listening to Elizabeth's podcast, make sure to check out the show notes for the link. Once again, that's the Four in Tow podcast. We hope you'll join her.
Hi, I'm Kara, and I'm a member of the Fade to Gray Patreon. I'd like to talk to you about an easy and affordable way to get your finances in order. Ryan from BoundlessFinancialSolutions.com can help you set up a budget, learn how to invest your money, and even help you understand retirement. And they don't just work with the individual. They work with businesses and nonprofits as well. What's awesome is they won't ever cold call you or spam your email. You tell them your needs, hopes, and dreams, and they'll provide you with their best options at your convenience. Listeners of Fade to Gray can call 413-977-9967 and ask for Brian. Or you can email him directly at brian@bfs-team.com and mention the podcast to receive a free consultation. That's hundreds of dollars in value. Services are available where licensed. Look, you have no excuse not to get your finances in order. Visit BoundlessFinancialSolutions.com and let them remove your financial fee.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.